This is episode 220, recorded February 6th, 2015. Packard pokes at Mickey's Measly Two-Egg Beaver Show. I want to thank Talking Primate from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far ill of Illinois is Dana, the talking primate.
Might as well face it. I'm a dick you can love.
And also joining us from the same state for the first time here on Packard Pokes At. I think this is an actual first for having the both co-hosts in the same state is Tom Leeds from YouTube, as from Tom the Atheist on.
That would be me. Hello.
And we got a great show for you tonight, so let's get on to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
There's an old saying that two's company, three's a crowd, but sometimes three is also a party. But but it depends on what kind of threes you're talking about, of course. When it comes to science, in this particular part there, over in Britain, they have worked out a way where it's not going to take two people to make a baby. It's going to take three to make a baby. What's interesting about that is sometimes when women have a problem with their mitochondrial, it's like the food a fetus would eat off of to mature. It's damaged somehow or it's unhealthy, and this causes birth defects. They will take an egg from a donor, and they will remove the DNA part, the nucleus from the other mother, take that out. So this way you just have what's left is the mitochondria. And like I said, that's just the food. And then they take the DNA from the woman who wants to have the child, and they insert that into the mitochondria. They stick that in there. And this way it removes the birth defects and things like that. And all that information that, you know, not why I wouldn't say information, the DNA that would come from the woman who wants to have the child is the one that's going to have the DNA for the baby between the father and between the father and the original mother. It's just the outer layer of the egg. It's like taking an eggshell, drilling into it, taking all the good stuff out, and leaving the yolk. The yolk, yes, and taking the yolk and inserting it into another egg that has bad yolk, that had bad yolk in it, and then you just leave the
naughty yolk.
Yeah, the naughty, naughty yolk. And you put the DNA back in there, and then you could stick it back underneath the chicken. In this instance, you're obviously you can't stick it under the woman because, you know, no one wants to sit there for 9 months. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way. Dana, your thoughts?
Yolk's on you.
Yeah.
Couple things. I'm really glad that mitochondria is finally getting some press. I mean, we haven't heard anything about mitochondria since controversial levels found in Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars Episode 1.
I think that's midichlorians. You're thinking of there.
Oh, fantastic. I was not aware of that. Yeah, so of course this is causing quite an uproar in the Christian conservative contingency.
Mm-hmm.
In England that still exists, which is actually surprising. But they're in an uproar with all kinds of ethical and religious objections. But I'm not sure really why Christian conservatives would be too up in arms about it. I mean, they do always claim that there's always a third person in the room.
Yeah. You know, what's really weird is because they think that if you're going to do this, that they think that they're actually killing another baby to make one baby. And that's not the case. It's just the mitochondria. There's no DNA. There's no child there. It's just
it hasn't been fertilized.
Yeah, it hasn't been fertilized yet. Yeah, And it's just so bizarre that the fact is, last week the Catholic and Anglican churches of England said the idea was not safe or ethical, not least because it involved the destruction of embryos. It's like, it's not even an embryo. An embryo would be something, you know, if the sperm and the egg had already come together. At this point, it's just an egg. And millions of women, well, billions of women have a thing called a period, and an egg gets flushed out every month. Where is the outrage for those women having those periods and flushing those eggs down the toilet? You don't hear them screaming about it. No, because it's the same fucking thing, people.
Yes, but they do scream about the little boys who are whacking their seeds out in their
right. Exactly. Tom, your thoughts?
I think it's just the next step in removing us from the evolutionary process.
Interesting.
We're figuring out ways to get around disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that used to keep people from having kids,
mm-hmm.
we're finding ways to bypass those.
Yeah.
And we've already found a way for people who would have normally have not survived and thus removed from the gene pool.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're surviving much longer and populating the gene pool with, I don't want to say defective, but it's basically defective genes.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting around the people who couldn't have kids and giving them a way to have kids. I mean, fertility treatments have been around for a long time.
Yes.
But this is just the next step in bypassing, you know, the natural order of things. Not that I disagree with it, but I think there's enough kids already. They could adopt.
Adopt, people, adopt. Yeah, there's a lot of children out there. So if you can adopt, yeah, definitely do that. But I think this is an interesting step. I mean, they first had a problem with people having the first test tube babies. You know, they took the sperm and the egg, and instead of having it fertilized in the womb, you know, as natural, and they did it in a petri dish, basically. And this was the first test tube babies, and nothing happened to them. I mean, I think what the religious people think, if you have the egg and the sperm fertilized outside the mother, it doesn't get a soul or something. But, you know, there's no proof of souls either, but...
Yeah, you can really see the fear on the minds of conservatives when they clamor on about designer babies and mm-hmm. then invariably invoke Hitler and
yeah.
nation and stuff. But let me just get this straight. They're afraid of making babies who are free of diseases?
Yeah, because if they're free of diseases, then God can have a hand in making them.
Just it's another case of people being afraid of things they don't understand. And
right.
Finally, to your point, Tom, about, yeah, I agree with you on overpopulation. However, but one of the things, there was one good point in this article specifically where it said that this process will result in babies with only 0.1% of their DNA from the second woman and is a permanent change that would be passed down through the generations. So essentially, you could eradicate this disease over time.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's also true.
Yeah. I like to think of it as an evolutionary step, but I think it's a forced evolutionary step. Kind of like when we do with, you know, forced breeding with dogs, because if we want one kind of dog, we go like, okay, I want a half pug and a half Doberman Pinscher. So, you know, then what's that?
Ew.
I'm just saying.
Nobody wants that.
Or a half poodle, half pug, you know, the pug poodles or poodle pugs or whatever the hell those things are. And you're forcing interbreeding between these two animals altogether. I mean, they're the same species, but you're forcing something that, you know, a natural evolution, but you're forcing it. You're kind of giving it a guiding hand. This is the same thing. We are going to be weeding out later on down the road the diseases that we have today. There was a big discussion on one of the other channels about, trying to think here.
Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, I know. Autism. And there, what if it's something that's in the mitochondria that's causing the autism from the child, or causing the child to get autism? And by doing this, we eventually eliminate people having autism. It's just a thought, you know, because there's a big brouhaha about that right now. So,
well, that's kind of what I was getting at. When we are removing ourselves from the evolutionary process, I figure eventually people are, say, at a high risk of having kids that were with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find a way to remove whatever genes cause the Down syndrome and remove those from the fertilized egg before they're even born. And you know, basically find a way to remove that gene from the gene pool.
Mm-hmm.
So in the long run, it's a good thing.
Yes.
But we are removing ourselves from the normal evolutionary process.
I can see that. I think it's a good, important step. In a way, this could be a new breed of human, but it'd be Homo superior at some point, maybe. You know, like X-Men, you know, they say there's the Homo sapiens and then Homo superior. But
yeah.
So, but it eventually, the first child is supposed to be born sometime next year, 2016. So this is a fascinating story. So
I think the reason the religious are upset about it,
mm-hmm,
is they feel like the doctors and the technology is playing God.
Mm-hmm.
We're bypassing God's will by imposing our will over it.
Yeah.
For those who believe in God.
How do they know that God didn't want us to do this?
Right, exactly. Yeah. How do they know?
Yeah.
So
the very first super chilled child born already, at least to them, was Kanye and Kim's kid.
It definitely would be moving us out of what the normal evolution for what we have had and move us into something that's new. But I mean, eventually it's just a step apart from where we were to where we're going to be. And in other, speaking of other places you want to be, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
People go to the library to do research, look at newspapers, or just sometimes if you're out and about and you have nothing to do all day and you just want to kill some time and immerse yourself in literature, the library is a great place to be. For this particular university student, she went there not to learn, unless learning gynecology via webcam is something that's new that the library is offering now, but it's not. She's 19 years old. She was performing X-rated acts in the public library, in a public space. She's a former Oregon student. She's facing multiple public lewdness charges after she filmed herself at the school's library in a clip that circulated widely on campus. Kendra Sutherland, age 19, was arrested Tuesday in connection with the video that was shot at the school's Spalding Valley Library. That's in one lucky library. No, I'm kidding. Apparently, there was other photos and videos found online that depicted the teenager who used an alias engaged in similar lewd acts, and all of which transpired in what appears to be her residence. Now, if you're doing this in your residence, that's fine. But, you know, this is in a public location. Now, most people would say if this had been a guy, they probably would have, you know, nailed him right away to do this. And most likely they would have. But I'm surprised it just took this long for this woman to get nailed on this. And she could face a fine up to $6,250, which is not a cheap fine. And she could end up spending 1 year in prison over doing this. I mean, she's just having fun. And it's just like, I can understand the problem. You know, if there's people around, she kept looking. Apparently, in the video, she keeps looking around, make sure no one's around. But she's exposing herself. She slides off her pants and her panties, and then she starts diddling herself. This is not the first time this has been done. There are other videos out there where women will do this in a public location, like a coffee. There's one where the woman's at a coffee shop. Yes, I've seen the video. Judge me. I don't give a shit. I'm an adult. I watch porn. Fuck you. Danny, your thoughts?
Yeah. In other news, Oregon State's application rate increased tenfold this week. I had a lot of fun researching this story.
A little sore, I bet, too.
And apparently the school says they have no plans to change their OSU name to Orgasmic State University. The mascot for Oregon State is the Beavers.
Yes, it is.
Which seems a little ironic. But the school did say that they will change their animal name from the Beavers to the Kitties. In a later interview with Ms. Sutherland, she did say that she will register once the case settles against her. Class course schedule will include photography, communications, broadcast journalism, and for physical education, handball. No, but on the serious side, there's not really a serious side. Let's give her How do they come up with that number? $6,250.
I know. It's like they stuck on a number or something, you know? It's like, if you do this particular act, you get fined this much. If you do this particular act, you get fined this much. So we're just going to, you know, it's a lewdness count, so...
Could you imagine? Maybe it's like a per event. So you're the guy watching the 32-minute 42-second video. Oh wait, how did I know that? So you're the
Research.
Guy watching that video, and every time she whips out her boobs, that's like okay, $50.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the vagina, that's $1,000.
Right.
You know. So every time, you know, it's like a per touch. You know, and then that's how we came up with $6,250.
That's why they came up with the $50. It's actually 25 per nipple. Tom, your thoughts?
Well, you know, exhibitionism is very popular with some people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been known in my youthful days to have been caught doing. But now with everybody being so connected with internet everywhere and.
Yeah,
now,
cell phones.
Now it gives people the opportunity to outreach their. Exhibitionist behavior.
I'm guilty of that myself, actually, but that was many moons ago. So
yeah, right. I saw you yesterday on Chat Roulette.
That wasn't me.
Oh wait, that was me.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add on that, Tom?
So I guess that exposing yourself is not like getting a traffic ticket where they have to catch you in the act.
Yeah.
Had they caught her? That's the amount they came up with. The $10,000 fine, but there's a discount for not catching her.
Right. We didn't catch you in the act, but so we're gonna take some of that off, you know.
Now, had they been, you know, clever investigators. They would have been like, so when's the next time you could be on?
Right.
And they could have just walked up, got you.
Yeah. Now, that's an interesting thought. Why? Yeah, wouldn't they do that? Now, the fact is that in the video, she appears to be talking to somebody online. Now, there's a lot of women out there who will do things like this. They will take money so they can expose themselves and you know, put money in their account, I guess. I mean, what else would they do with it? But I'm kind of wondering... Is this why she did it? Did she do this because she had a pay set up? It was like, I'll go to some weird place. You guys tell me where you want me to go, and I'll do it there. And then, you know, I'll do it as best as I can. So and if she did, and she made a lot of money, which I'm not saying that this is what happened. I'm just saying this is a possibility. This $6,200 or $250 fine, she's probably going to go, psh, chicken feed. I've got this in 20s, you know.
Wait,
so
how much money can you make doing that?
You could, from what I understand, you can make a few $1,000s in just a short while, actually. And
I doubt that I could make a few $1,000s.
Yeah, no. Yeah, me too. I just you're a good-looking guy, but I don't think so. No. She's a lot better looking than you or I, so.
Yes. I'd actually get paid to stop the broadcast.
Please shut it off, man. Put that away. Oh, so.
You know, the first thing I thought about when she was talking to the person, trying to figure out who the person is, the first thing that went through my mind, and I kid you not, Dean of Students.
Dean of Students.
I don't know why I thought that, but. Would seem logical.
Right.
My favorite spot in the library.
Yes. Connie from the chat room, she said, Tom's nude gardening show. So just something to think about, Tom. So.
Full frontal beanpole.
Full Monty potato.
There you go.
Full Monty Python.
Torvian asked in the chat room, what library has webcams? Did she bring her own? As a matter of fact, she's at like a regular desk, and she has two cameras. She has one that's like on the computer itself, and then she has another one she sticks underneath the desk so it can capture all the action from below. So you can attach it to the leg or whatever so you can't tell what's going on, or she just like would hold on to the camera from below. So it's an interesting, well, I wouldn't say it's an interesting video. It's just, well, it's pornography, but nothing wrong with pornography.
Yeah. Pretty much all libraries have Wi-Fi. So you just bring your laptop and It's easy to stick a second camera on it.
Oh yeah, easy enough. That's how I do this. That's how I do this show. It's a computer without a camera built into it. It's a camera that's attached to it. So.
And you're at the library?
And I'm at the library. That's why they keep telling me to shush. So. But you don't want to go to the library and masturbate, though. So, you know, they kind of frown at that.
So. Like homeless people. Like, oh, God. I'm sorry. That was so mean. I apologize.
Connie in the chat room says, giving new meaning to laptop. Ooh. Chicka bow wow.
The laptop dance.
Yes. But if instead of giving her money to expose herself, you can give us some money if you'd like to. You can go to patreon.com/PackardPokeSat and donate little as a dollar once a month to the show. It would be really great, and it could help us out immensely. And I'm trying to work on something for the show, so I'm going to be developing this over the next few weeks. So maybe you can get a prize for donating. This is all the talk stage right now. So, but this is something that may be coming up sometime in the future. So if you want to get your chance to donate, go to patreon.com/PackardPokeSat and donate a dollar once a month. It'd be really helpful. Also, if you need to get in contact with us, we're going to give you all that information right now.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @PackardPokeSat. Like us on facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, join us live at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from cafepress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us,
you kick ass.
Alrighty, and by the way, if you want to get your voice in on the show, we are on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. If you would like to give us a call, it's at 857-216-3200, use PIN number 35368, or go to uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat, and you can call in and give your comments in on the show, and I'll be checking that here and there. Speaking of stuff that's coming up, usually I save this for the end of the show, but I'm going to mention it right now. We're coming up on our 4 years of doing this show. I know it's like we just started it yesterday. As a matter of fact, some days I feel like we did start it yesterday. But but we are coming up on our 4-year anniversary. If you would like to promote yourself, your show, your channel, whatever, or just want to say happy anniversary for 4 years, send me an email at PackardPokeSat@gmail.com or PPApodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to record a video that says, you know, congratulations, just send me the link and put the show up in unlisted and just send me the link at that point. And then I can put it into the show when we get to our 4-year anniversary, which will be coming up here in April. So I'm giving you advance notice now, so... And I'm going to try to remember to say this every show until we get closer to April. But I'd like to have everybody, if you're going to do this, please do it. Send it in before like the last 2 weeks of March. So this way I have time to process all the files and get everything mixed down. So we put everything into the promotion for the upcoming show. So when we get into April anyway. So anyway, sorry about that. Oh, by the way, Connie did ask me what show number this was. This is episode 220. I forget to mention the show title, or the show number, rather, at the beginning of every show, because I'm an idiot, so. But anyway, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Earlier this month, the measles has been in the news a lot lately, and in 2015, the measles outbreak is up to 102. Now, there's a lot of crackpots out there, Beck being one of them, saying that there's no outbreak of this, because he's got this weird conspiracy about this shit. But this all happened, apparently started out at the Disney, the amusement park that out there. Now, apparently what happened was, visitors reported coming down with measles after visiting the park from December 15th to December 20th, I'm sorry, last year. And apparently, well, since it says here, measles was declared eliminated in the United States in the year 2000, which means it was no longer native to the United States, but it continues to be brought in by international travelers. Since 2001, the number of cases topped at 100 only 5 times, and there were more than 200 cases in 2011, which was reported by the CDC. However, this last year, the number spiked to 644 cases. It's a highly communicable disease, respiratory disease, caused by a virus that spreads through the air. So basically, measles makes Ebola look like a pussy, basically. It's just Ebola, it kills you, but you actually have to come in contact with somebody that has Ebola. Measles,
you actually have to touch them.
Yes, exactly. You actually have to touch them, and they have to be, you know, coming down with it. Measles, it spreads through the air. So if someone comes by, that's walked by you, sneezes or coughs in your direction, and they have the measles, you can get it. You know, you can get that way. And that is way worse, because people can die from the measles. It does all kinds of nasty shit to you. Now, the thing is, though, there's a lot of reporting out there. Fox, being the number one stupid people on there, they seem to think that people coming in from somewhere else was the main reason. I checked this out on Snopes here, because Snopes is really good for this. It said that this is the claim, that patient zero between 2014 and 2015 was found to be an already vaccinated child or an illegal immigrant. Now, that turns out it's false, because if your child has already been immunated against it, they can't get the disease, and they can't spread it if they should contract it in some way, because their body would say, okay, I've seen this disease before, we know what to do with this, and it eliminates it. You know, it's like having little Terminators inside your body already set to go. They're already looking for John Connor, I guess. Sorry. There's a new Terminator movie coming out. But this is a big problem right now, and the fact is that the religious right and some Republicans are saying, oh, well, get your kids vaccinated, but it should be the parents' choice. We shouldn't mandate it. I mean, it's like there's this thing called herd immunity, and we all need this immunity so this way everybody can stay healthy. If your kid is sick and your Johnny or Jane goes to school and they don't have the immunity for it, and they become the other person was a carrier of it, and then your kid's going to get sick. So, and then if you get one that's sick, it can get even more people sick in the long run. It's not a good thing here. Dana, your thoughts?
Greetings from the scariest place on earth. Oh my God, Disneyland. Okay, so not long ago, the most annoying thing about Disneyland was the "It's a Small World" ride.
Oh. It's a small world after all, with Ebola and the measles.
That's right.
I love that ride.
Okay, so I came up with a few headlines for this story here. It's in California, right?
Yeah.
Okay, number one, from Point Break to Outbreak. No? Okay, how about this one? Number two, 100... sorry, let's try this again. Number two,
take two.
$120 measly dollars for a ticket. And the obvious one, number three, what kind of Mickey Mouse disease ridden theme park is this?
Nice.
A apparently the marketers have pretty much jumped on this. There's a new ride at the park now called the Centrifuge. Specifically for kids who have the virus, where the virus is literally spun out of the cells and the funnel cakes are literally spun out of the kids.
That's called the Gravitron. Just saying. I've been on this ride. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then I ran out of jokes.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to pass it over to the next speaker.
Tom, your thoughts.
Well, this really kind of started like 10, 12 years ago when that idiot made the connection between vaccines and Down syndrome, or not Down syndrome, autism.
Mm-hmm.
And now it got everyone freaked out and started this movement against vaccines, and now they're looking for any excuse not to get them. And once people learn something, even if it's wrong, it's very difficult to get them to unlearn it or to let it go.
Right.
And the more you try to convince them that they're wrong, the more they hold on to the idea that they're right. And, you know, they're making all these really kind of crazy connections. I was listening to a story the other day. Somebody said, you know, they use aluminum in the vaccines. And there is an amount of aluminum in vaccines. But when you drink a soda, you're getting an amount of aluminum just from the can.
Yes, you are.
So, I mean, the quantities are so low in vaccines. But I guess one of the issues that they're having is when they're getting initially vaccinated, they like to do them in groups, because when you bring your kid to the doctor, you know, would you rather bring them in 10 times for 10 shots or one time and give them 10 shots all at the same time?
Yeah.
And they're using that as an excuse. They're like, oh, no, I want to bring our kids in for, you know, their own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the religious excuses are, I don't even get. I can understand those who are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's a very small percentage of people who actually are allergic or do have adverse reactions to getting vaccinated. But it's just the scare tactic of, you know, big government. They're trying to run your life. They're forcing you to do this. And, you know, you got to rebel against it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the name of that clown was Dr. Andrew Wakefield. And it was something that he put out. He's a gastroenterologist.
Yeah.
It's a stomach doctor.
Yeah. You know, what I understand is that the reason why we have this crisis in the United States right now, because a doctor, or supposedly a doctor, I don't know what exactly his exact position was, but he said,
Dr. Zeus.
Yeah, Dr. Zeus. he was coming up. Was that?
Dr. Andrew Wakefield, a gastroenterologist.
Okay, it's the same guy. Okay. He came up with some, he claimed he came up with another vaccine for the measles, was what his claim was anyway. So to get the vaccine people, you know, the ones that, you know, pay billions of dollars to the people who developed this stuff, and billions of dollars, I don't know what they get paid. But so that way, so to get his vaccine to the market, he started this rumor basically saying, oh, this vaccine over here that you've been taking for the measles or whatever, or other vaccines, are the ones that are causing autism. And if you take this one, you won't get autism. So it was a scam. Now, science is a wonderful thing. Scientists sometimes are pieces of shit. Not science, you know, tries to help solve problems. Sometimes we get problems from science, but, you know, overall, science has been a good thing. Sometimes scientists, because they do stupid things and they want to make a lot of money because they're just greedy bastards, then you get bad science out of them. And that's what happened here with Wakefield. He was a bad scientist. So he tried to sell this bullshit story, and some people thought, oh, that's obviously the connection, and this was not the connection. Tom, did you have any other thoughts on that?
Well, I know a lot of people, you know, people I consider to be intelligent, who are, I don't want to say they're afraid to get a flu vaccine, but they think flu vaccines are a conspiracy, that, you know, the government's trying to poison people with flu vaccines. I mean, people get the idea in their head from, you know, whatever bad idea, and then that bad idea kind of evolves into just crazy thoughts.
Yes.
So one thing I did want to add is I was listening to a story this morning, and they're talking about having healthcare workers and people who work with children to make sure that they've been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to think about this. You know, I'm sure I was vaccinated, but I was a little kid. I have no idea. And my mother's dead. I really no one to ask if I have been vaccinated. And they were suggesting that, you know, it might be a good idea since, you know, they've had these outbreaks. If you're going to be in an area like, you know, Disney,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
that you might want to get revaccinated just in case.
That's probably a good idea, actually. So because, you know, there's so many people that are in and out of that place. You don't know what anybody's carrying. This is why we need herd immunity overall. I mean, especially places like that. Here in Wisconsin, we have this place in the area called Wisconsin Dells. People literally come from all over the world just to go to this area where there's a water park. I used to work at one particular one, and I met people from at least four or five different countries in just one season that I was working there. And of course, you know, that's a small percentage right there, but I mean, it's still, the fact is I was shocked that people were coming in from Europe or somewhere else just to visit here. It's like, why would you fly all the way across the world to come to Wisconsin? Don't you have water parks anywhere else in the world or something? So it was kind of weird. So,
but another problem is that people here, you know, like in this country, you know, measles has been defeated. You know, polio has been defeated. Mm-hmm. You know, it's now no longer part of the United States disease portfolio.
Right.
And people think, oh, it's gone now. I'm safe. I don't need a vaccine. I don't need to get my kids vaccinated because the disease no longer exists in this country.
Right.
And they live in this mindset that, you know, we're in a bubble. Nobody from any other country is coming here. We're all safe.
Right. Yeah, that's it. We just they think we live in a bubble and that they don't need to have their kids vaccinated. But honestly, you should get your kids vaccinated. There's this program I use on my phone. It's called Whisper. And someone actually asked this question, should you get your kids vaccinated? And I had several discussions with some people making all kinds of weird-ass claims why you shouldn't get your kids vaccinated. And their arguments were just as lame as the ones I come across with nutjob Christians. And speaking of which, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky.
And staying, I'm kind of on the same topic here. Pat Robertson recently came out and was saying some stupid shit about vaccines also. And he made some very wild, outrageous claims. He said, quote, "I'm sure there's some serious consequences to measles, and perhaps vaccinations is the answer, but I don't think any parent should be forced by the government to vaccinate," which I think he's completely wrong. I mean, people should be mandated to get a vaccination, you know, because it just helps to hold herd immunity overall. And then he goes on to say, "There was a vaccine against polio, and I know of a mother of a friend," you know, that third party story, "who contracted polio from the vaccine. So all vaccines are not benign. But so far, this one about whooping cough and diphtheria and measles has been very effective, and I think it is a good thing to do. But the problem is, the natural immunity is a pretty good thing. And if you like some of these diseases when you're a kid, you'll have immunity for the rest of your life." No, you won't. Sometimes you have to have booster shots. That's why they're called booster shots. And I looked it up, this particular one, where he says he claimed that somebody got polio from the vaccine. And that is total bullshit, because I went to the CDC and I checked several other places. And one of the questions was, can you get polio from the vaccine? And the plain and simple answer was, you cannot contract polio from the IPV vaccine because the vaccine contains a killed virus. So if the virus has no life to it, it's just the dead remnants of it, the body recognizes that, and it'll say, hey, something's here, and it's not right, it shouldn't be here, and it'll attack it. If the virus was live, there'd be a different story. They're not going around giving people live viruses. We don't want people getting polio. We give them the dead version of it, and then the body, well, not we, because I'm not a doctor or a physician in any way, but the government or wherever the hospitals will give you a dead version of the polio virus, and that the body will come in, swoop down, and kill whatever's left. It recognizes this is not supposed to be here, and it builds up immunity to it. This is stuff that's way beyond me, but
maybe it was zombie polio.
It's zombie polio, right? Pretty much. But Pat Robertson is just completely off his nut. Dana, your thoughts?
Okay, so here's what we learned about Pat Robertson so far. Okay, he's against gays, but he's for transgendered people.
Mm-hmm.
He's for a literal interpretation of the Bible, but he's against creationism. He's for pot, against women's rights, and now he's an anti-vaxxer, and he's also, according to the article, against fluoride.
Yeah, you don't want people to have teeth, because the teeth might not be able to talk right.
I have one piece of advice for Pat Robertson. Fucking die already. Okay, so here's the main problem that I have with Pat Robertson. I really don't... Pat Robertson is a character unto himself. So here's the problem I have with Pat Robertson. I'm not certain what his viewership on ABC Family is, of all places, or how many people actually take him seriously. But if that number is only one, then that number is too high.
Right.
Because anyone who considers him an authority figure on anything and listens to him over their doctor is doing themselves and, more importantly, their kids a disservice.
Yes, so. I quite agree. Yeah, and there was another part in there about fluoride. He's like, I just think you've got to be careful with all the falls of these nostrums. You know, you have to put fluoride in the water because it'll cut down on cavities. But what does fluoride do to people? It makes them into zombies, Pat. Didn't you recognize it? All those people out there, turns them into Republicans and Christians. That's what the fluoride's doing. What are you talking about? The fluoride, it's there to help keep your teeth strong. I mean, if we didn't have fluoride in the water, most people in this country, because they can't afford fucking health insurance, probably would not have any teeth in their face. You know, we'd all look like we all lived in Louisiana. Jesus fucking Christ. Tommy, you have something else you want to add on there, Dana?
Yeah, just from what you just said. It's fuzzy. I'm not very fast on the Google today, but there is one case study that happened where they decided they went with the public consensus that fluoride was bad for you, and they took it out of the water, and that particular place, it's either in Canada or in the UK. I would guess the UK, but it actually is probably Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Where, oh, well, guess what happened? Tooth decay, like, tripled. And so now the kids and what have you in the area where they removed the fluoride from the water, they're fucked.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, maybe we should go ahead and put that back.
Yeah. Definitely. Tom, your thoughts?
Well, I'll start on fluoride. That's actually becoming a problem in this country because everyone's drinking bottled water. Bottled water does not have fluoride in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a resurgence of tooth decay caused by a lack of healthy teeth that was being helped by fluoride.
Mm-hmm.
But Pat Robertson, I haven't seen a lot of him because he's a crazy old man. But I thought he was actually relatively reasonable for a doddering old guy. I liked, he's telling stories like, you know, we had measles when we were kids and we just, you know, we sat in a dark room and we couldn't read for a week. Like, you know, the good old days back when you had diseases and, you know, you got through it.
Yeah.
And then he goes on telling how horrible it is. And, you know, vaccines are really good and people should get them, but mm-hmm. they should be forced to get them. And it just, He's a doddering old man, and he cannot keep a thought in his head long enough to know what the hell he's talking about.
Exactly. You know, what was interesting, and I mentioned this at our staff meeting, that when I was growing up, there was no vaccine for the chicken pox. You just had to get it to get an immunity to it to some degree. And I had never had it. I thought at one point I did, so I thought I was safe, but I had my niece had come up and visited us where I was living, and she had it, and I ended up catching it too, and it was pretty bad actually. But overall, when I got old enough and I had children and we had to take them to the doctor for their vaccinations, they said, "Oh, we have a vaccine for chickenpox." I said, "You've got to be shitting me. Where was this shit when I was growing up? Because I would have loved to have had this. I would have got the shot right away if I had known that there was a shot for this stuff."
Chickenpox is not fun.
Yeah, chickenpox is definitely not fun. If you've never had chickenpox, be glad that you're living in an age where you don't have to get chickenpox. It's nasty. I mean, some people die from it.
When we were kids, you know, they wanted to get it to you when you were little. If somebody had it, they'd get all the kids together so they could all get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get chickenpox when you're older, that's when it's really dangerous.
Right. Yeah. They used to call those pox parties. It's like, oh yeah, everybody spit into somebody else's throat or whatever. Everybody licked the lolly, you know. So this way everybody gets it. Oh yeah. I remember, I could have swore, I might be remember this wrong because it was a long time ago. I remember one of my sisters getting the chicken pox or something, and it turned into something else, and she was actually hospitalized for a short time because of it. And it was not pretty. It was not a fun thing. When you get it as an adult, you can die from it because it's that virulent. So it's not very good. Tarvian from the chat room said they should be a crazy old men or rant channel. It should have Sarah McLachlan music playing the entire time.
Especially the song that she does for the adoptive puppy commercials.
Yeah.
Now, I ought to check with our pediatrician. You know, my daughter's gotten all her vaccines. Mm. And it was almost funny to me when she was getting the vaccines, the pediatrician was kind of giving us the hard sell.
Really?
And in a good way. She was giving us a lot of information because I know she's dealt with a lot of crazy parents who are like, I don't want to vaccinate my kids. I think it's just the government trying to control my life.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like, I appreciate all the information you're giving it. It's great. But, I know the importance of vaccines. I'm you're going to get no argument from me.
Right.
But I didn't know about the chicken pox one. I'm not sure if she got that one or not. I'll have to.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I would be very happy to have my daughter avoid the chicken pox.
Yeah, that is, as far as I know, when the kids were young, about not that old actually, about 6 years old, maybe a little less, they said that there was a vaccine for the chicken pox. So if you haven't gotten it yet, definitely go out and ask your doctor for it because it should be available.
Yeah, she probably has. She got a lot of shots.
Yeah,
and I understand, you know, people not wanting their kids to get, you know, all these shots.
Mm-hmm. Kids don't enjoy it, that's for sure.
It's painful to watch.
It is. Like, you're poking my kid. I don't want to see you poking my kid. And this is why we don't let people watch people tear apart their car, or we let people watch people have surgery, you know. It's like you're seeing them doing stuff to your kid or your car or whatever that you're right at the initial part, you're going to freak out and go, what the fuck are you doing? It's just a little poke, people. You know, the kid suffers a little discomfort for a little while, but overall, it's better a little discomfort versus a lot of discomfort or death.
Yeah, exactly. But people are so trained to think just the slightest discomfort is, you know, it's unreasonable.
Yes.
You know, I live in America. I don't deserve to get any discomfort. I should have a perfect, wonderful life.
Yeah.
Welcome to America.
Right. My daughter, our producer, actually, for the show here, she said, I don't like getting shots due to my fear of needles. And I used to have that same fear, but I was able to overcome it. But because I was, well, that's another story altogether. But what's that?
No, I didn't say anything.
Okay.
I donate blood very regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I've given well over 10 gallons. But every time I give blood, and these people, they've got to know who I am. I'm there all the time.
Mm.
They're still like, you know, okay, we're going to stick you with this needle. Turn away. I'm like, no, I want to see you.
Right.
I want to see the blood go through the tube. But I always bring my daughter along. And I keep, like, can't she watch? Like, oh, no, wait, you can't have anybody. But I want her to see that, you know, a little bit of pain is not a big deal. And,
right.
You know, it's going to either help you or it can help somebody else.
Right. You know, that's a very interesting thought that you have right there, is that sometimes kids will take their cues from us, where if, like, a kid gets hurt or something, it's like, if you start freaking out, the kid's going to start freaking out. And I've probably mentioned this on the show, like, many years ago. But if you don't freak out, then the kid's not going to take that stance. They're going to go, oh, okay, this is just a thing. You know, but if you start going, oh my gosh, it's like, oh, is this supposed to hurt? Oh my gosh, it's going to make it, you know, 10 times worse. Because in their mind, they're going to make it exaggerate it even more.
Yeah.
So we had a comment come in from Torvian over our Twitter. It said, the 700 Club is a ripoff of Weekend at Bernie's. And you can tweet us on the show. That's at hashtag PPAP. And, of course, as I said before, if you would like to give us a call, we are on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat if you would like to, you know, join in on the show or ask us a question. Or you can call in 857-216-3200. Use PIN number 35368. All right, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. And our funny tweet tonight comes from Josh Longelman. That's Joshgondelman. And he says, my girlfriend and I are thinking about adopting a dog because we've had no luck trying to have one naturally. Kind of goes back to the first story, you know. Danny, your thoughts?
Okay, yeah. First of all, the anti-gay marriage crowd was right. Legalizing gay marriage does lead to bestiality. Okay, so this is a lot like that old joke. I don't know. Did you ever hear it? Did you ever hear the one, the blonde brunette and the redhead?
Okay, there's a lot of them like that. You have to be more specific.
This one, okay. So I'll give you the condensed version. Blonde brunette and a redhead all in a room, all pregnant. Brunette says, husband did me in the missionary position, so we're having a boy. The redhead says, oh, my husband did me with me on top, and that means we're having a girl. And the blonde starts to cry. And they go, what's wrong? And she says, I'm having puppies.
I remember hearing, that one does sound familiar now.
Yeah, good. I love making jokes about dog sex.
Yeah.
So, good on you, Josh Gundelman.
Tom, your thoughts?
Actually, it reminds me of one of those punctuation jokes. And I can't think of the one right now, but depending on where you put the comma and capitalize the word,
right,
it completely changes the meaning.
Yeah. I know which one you're talking about, too. So, but anyway, all right, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. And we are joined tonight with Tom Leeds from Tom the Atheist On, and he's been very kind to come and join us on the show tonight. Tom, I have a few general questions I would like to ask you, and then I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, and then we'll get some questions from the bullpen here. So people who are in the chat room, if you have a question for Tom, please get ready, start warming up, and we'll get them out to Tom here in just a few moments. Anyway, my question here for you is, were you religious, and how did you come to your non-belief?
I was actually never what I consider religious. I, like most kids, was told about God and Santa Claus and believed they were real because that's what my parents told me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to determine that Santa Claus was not real, I also kind of assumed that God was also not real.
Mm.
And the funny thing was that I always kind of figured that, you know, my parents and the rest of my family were in on the joke. I mean, I didn't believe in Santa Claus, but we still had Christmas and we still had the tree. We still talked about Santa Claus, and you know, I didn't believe in God, but we still went to church. It wasn't until I was in my teens that I came to realize that my family actually believed that there was a God, or thought there was a literal God.
Mm-hmm.
But I got over it very early. In fact, I was about 10. I got kicked out of Sunday school for basically being too argumentative. And the preacher took me under his wing. Not that way, but he wanted to keep me in the fold, and he kind of gave up on me. I figure he knew I was an atheist before I even knew what an atheist was.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents always kind of thought, you know, I was just being, you know, a stubborn kid, and I would grow out of it.
Yeah.
They still think that.
They never give up, do they? It's like, oh, it's just a phase. He's only been doing it for 20 years. He'll grow out of it soon enough.
But I never could understand why people thought there was a literal God. In fact, I think I was like 17 when I met my first young Earth creationist.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was pulling my leg. I'm like, that's silly. You know, dinosaurs were a test put by the devil to test our faith?
Yeah.
That's just crazy. You're just pulling my leg. And He actually believed it. And I thought, wow, there's some crazy people.
Yeah. I can tell you personally for myself, when I was younger, my sister told me that people had sex with angels or demons, and that's where dinosaur bones came from. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what? So, yeah. there's some people out there with some really strange ideas, and some of them are my family. My next question here is, what inspired you to get into making videos, and how do you produce and film them?
Well, I've been posting a lot of things on other people's videos and adding people to my Google circle. And I invited one person, and she checked me out before accepting my invitation and saw a lot of my comments and decided that I was okay. And after reading a lot of things that I had written, she suggested that I make my own video. Mm. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not into that. And I was like, well, I'll do one. Then I did one that went okay, and did another one that went okay, and did a couple more and a couple more. And my first few, I've always used my iPhone. That's my one camera that I use.
Really?
And the first dozen or so, I guess I was just holding it by hand, you know, kind of commando style.
Mm-hmm.
So they were a little shaky. And I had, you know, the outstretched arm. So they looked a little, you know.
Looked like you're in an earthquake, right?
But I do very, well, they're very short videos. Typically, they're about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do really any editing other than chopping off the front and the tail end and add a title to it. I get an idea of what I'd like to do a video on, and I kind of freehand it.
So you don't go by a script or anything. You just kind of
I wing it.
Ah, just like this show.
Yeah. And I'd say probably at least half of them, that video is the first take.
Oh, really?
It's like, yeah, that's not what I wanted to say.
That happens on this show all the time. It's like, wait a minute, did I mean to say that? Yeah, I think I did. So how do you, besides editing, I know you put the title on there. What programs do you use to put the titling on there?
Well, I'm a Mac guy, so I use iMovie.
Oh, you use that? That's an iMovie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I use iMovie as well, so yeah. I was just kind of curious.
It's nice and simple, and it posts directly to YouTube.
Mm. Oh, yeah, so. You can do that, yes.
It's one-stop shopping.
Yes, that's true. I usually just upload it directly myself, but that's a whole other thing altogether. Is there any YouTubers out there that you've checked out that you inspired you to get into posting them, or is there anyone that's on YouTube that you like particularly?
Well, I can't say that there's anyone that really inspired me to do it myself. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the girl's name who inspired me to do it, Fidem, but her last name, we'll destroy it, so I'm not going to try. But there are so many that I really enjoy it. But I guess Matt Dillahunty is probably the one guy that I really, I love him and Aaron Ra. Aaron Ra.
Aaron Ra, yeah.
Not Aaron. He hates that.
Thanks for the tip, Aaron. Because if I ever get him on the show, I don't want to call him by the wrong name. So,
but there's a ton of people that do, you know, great content, really professional stuff. Mine is it's very amateur, but then there's other ones that are much worse than mine, so I don't feel too bad.
Yeah, well, this show is complete amateur. You know, it's all amateur hour here. we get ribbed about that every once in a while, and we rib ourselves at it, so no big deal there. There is this picture of you with Matt Dillahunty and the Thinking...
Seth Andrews.
Yes, and Seth Andrews.
Yeah, he's another one that I just can't get enough of.
Yeah, he's got some good videos, too. How did you get a chance to meet those two at the same place? I mean, the closest I've ever had a chance to talk to him and somebody else at the same time was just over Twitter, so...
That was at Skepticon. No, that was at Aposticon in Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh.
Last fall, I think it was October. And it was great. I got to meet a lot of Lawrence Krauss was there.
Oh, really?
And Neil deGrasse Tyson did a talk.
Nice.
I almost got to meet him, but they had a special session that was $500, which wasn't.
Yeah, that's not in the budget.
But Matt was there, and Aaron was there, and Seth was there, and just a bunch of people that I've been watching for a really long time that I got to meet, and that was great. And I went to another one in November, Skepticon, and he was there again. And having met him at ApostleCon, you know, not that we're buddies, but got to be a bit more friendly with him, and he sat down with me, and I interviewed him as part of a series of real short interviews that I did with a bunch of people.
Really?
For Skepticon.
I'm going to have to see. I didn't see those ones in your video lineup. I'll have to look through those again. Maybe I missed it.
That was under the conferences.
Ah, okay. That's probably why I missed it. That's possibly why.
Oh, and Cara Santamaria. She's another one.
Mm.
She was at both of them. She's another person that... It's almost as I have a list of people that I really would like to have met, and this has allowed me to meet those people.
Nice.
Get involved. So I guess that was one of my motivations.
To do that. Okay, all right. My next question here, what do you do outside your YouTube persona? I mean, what do you do in the real world? I mean, you don't have to name the place you work at, but I mean, what do you do? Do you, like, drive a forklift? Do you give speeches? I mean, what is it that you do?
What I tell people is I cut and fold paper for a living.
There you go.
I'm a designer. I do point-of-purchase designs.
Oh, okay.
But for temporary displays.
Oh.
So they're made out of corrugated board, which is basically paper. And I cut and fold it.
Oh, nice.
And make very intricate origami kind of things.
Okay, so this is like the displays you like see in a store where it's like the promo centers.
Exactly, that's what I do. It's, I do a lot of work for Pepsi and Anheuser-Busch. And if you've ever seen an H&R Block display,
yes,
there's a very good chance that I'm the designer of it.
Nice. And that's cool that you actually got around the chance to design all that stuff. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. I'm going to turn over the questions to my co-host here. Dana, what's your questions for Tom?
I don't have too many, but the one thing I always like to ask Packard's guests are, have you ever had any death threats?
No, everyone I've dealt with has been really supportive. I get people going, oh, you're just full of crap. But that's about the most violent I've had towards me. Most people have been very supportive and appreciative of my efforts. And it's funny, I hear all the time that people who've gotten, you know, threats from people. And I'm very outspoken as an atheist, have been my entire life. And the closest thing I got to a threat in the world was in college. I was talking to some guy in the student union for 10, 15 minutes. And the conversation basically degraded to him yelling at me across the concourse, "You're going to hell! You're going to hell!"
Why didn't he just say, "You're not going to Disneyland! You're not going to Disneyland!" Well, I don't want to go to Disneyland now anyway. Beastly outbreak there.
But other than being told I'm going to hell pretty much daily, that's about as abusive as people have gotten towards me thus far. But my popularity is still pretty low, so I haven't attracted the crazies yet.
We attract the crazy. We usually have one that comes in our chat room all the time, but he's pretty benign. Yes, Karn, we're talking about you. Go ahead.
I think I've been subscribed to your YouTube channel pretty close to since it's your inception. I think the video that I think got forwarded to me was the one that I think has the most views on your channel. The one, the really short one that's You May Be an Atheist.
Yeah.
The one you did outside.
Yeah, that was my my channel, which we call it, the intro video. For quite a while. Now I'm circulating the other ones that I've done, but that was, what do they call it? Not the channel.
Promo?
Yeah. I guess, well, the promo. Hold on a second.
What?
Well, they were getting an echo. Sorry, my wife is.
Oh, no worries.
Got one too.
But I did that specifically to be an intro to my channel. And I did a bunch of real short vignettes asking, you know, questions. That's probably my most, well, it is definitely my most edited video. But it was just, you know, to give an idea of what my channel was, you know, what I wanted to achieve with answering those kind of questions.
I had a quick question myself. In a recent video you did yesterday, there was a death in the family, as it were. It was the hamster that passed away?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, honestly, in that regard, I think you did the right thing to let her, you know, experience the animal showing, hey, that things die. You know, that this is, nothing is permanent. And I think that was a good object lesson myself. I don't know anybody else would say about that, but I mean, did you say your wife was Christian in the video? I'm not sure.
She's Catholic.
Catholic. Okay. So, yeah, that's another one of those things that people make this clarification error. They say, well, you're Catholic or you're Christian, but it's like, Catholics are Christian.
In theory.
From what I understand, that's not necessarily true.
Really?
No, that's true, because don't they believe like more in the Mary story?
Yeah.
The way as I understand it, they believe in Jesus and God, and that's, you know, that's all you have to believe to be a Christian, is you have to believe in Jesus. I mean, that's the long and short of it, isn't it?
Well, the Baptists will say that Catholics aren't Christians.
It's hard to keep straight, because there's a lot of variation in what people believe.
Mm-hmm.
Even amongst Christians.
Oh, yeah, there's like 40,000 different sects of Christianity out there. But, I mean, Catholic is just another sect, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're all cults. So they're just government-sanctioned cults. That's all. So,
yeah. But one of the things I try to achieve on my channel is basically giving a friendly face to atheism.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, when they think of atheism, they think of Richard Dawkins or Christopher Hitchens, and they have this idea that atheists are these, you know, mean-spirited, you know, dead in the eyes, you know, Satan worshipers.
Mm.
And I try to include my daughter, and I've specifically not tried to sway her towards anything.
Mm-hmm.
I ask her questions about what she believes. And what she believes is a lot of what my wife tells her,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine. And because that's how I was when I was a kid. You know, my parents told me what to believe, and I believed them. And when I was older, I came to my own conclusions, which actually contradicted my parents.
Mm.
But that's what I try to be very careful with my daughter, not to tell her there's no God, or not to, you know, I tell her what I believe, but I don't,
you know,
contradict what my wife tells her.
You know, that, I find that very interesting, that the person who has the religion doesn't feel that it's any problem saying, yes, there is a God, and yes, you should do this, and because of God or whatever. But when it's us, especially with children, that we get admonished if we say, well, we don't believe there is a God, and here's why, and then we are taken down on this because it's like, well, you shouldn't be telling kids this. Like, I think you're taking a better approach at this, so let them come to their own conclusion instead of one person saying, well, there is a God and this is what you should believe. And I think in both, this is just my personal opinion, you're handling it your way, but I mean, I would say, you know, let her come to her own conclusions. Don't be forcing your beliefs into her. There's a person out there, Daryl Ray, I believe, he calls religion a virus. And
yeah, I met him too.
Oh, you met him? Oh, we've got to get him on the show at some point too. But he calls religion a virus, and I agree, because we hand that down to our kids. And I think in this instance, your wife is trying to hand the virus down to her, and in some respect, based on what you've told me. I think atheism is the antidote to all these viruses of religion, of course. But I'm going to take some questions from the chat room here.
Can I ask one last question?
Sure, go ahead, Dana.
Tom, did you go to the Reason Rally?
No, and I just heard they're working on a Reason Rally too, which I definitely want to go to.
Right, 2016. Same place, same time, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just wondering. Oh, and by the way, I'm getting a caravan together for that. So if you have any desire to drive there with a bunch of other guys in a minivan, let me know.
I do, and I know another guy that we've already been talking about going.
Cool. cool. That'd be something. I've never been to any Reason rallies at all. Because I'm poor. That's why you need to go to patreon.com/PackardPokes and make a donation to the show. So I can do one of these videos. So I can go to one of these conferences. I'd love to go. We'll start with some of the questions from the chat room here. From Connie, do you get a lot of blowback from atheists because you are not an anti-theist?
Actually, it's surprising how many. I'd say I get into arguments more with atheists than I do with theists, because I don't even know what it is. It's like Neil deGrasse Tyson seems to be a hot button for anti-theists, because even though he's an atheist, he's not an outspoken atheist. He goes by agnostic because he doesn't want to deal with it. He doesn't want it to be a question. He just wants to it's not a part of his life and just doesn't want to deal with it.
Right.
And he'll say things like, Godspeed. It's like, oh, you said God. You must believe in God. And if you're an atheist, you wouldn't say God, which I think is just crazy. Yeah. But there's some people who think, in order to be an atheist, you need to,
excise
religion completely away.
You mean like to excise the language from our lexicon? I understand that. I mean, there's certain words that I don't use. I don't use like the word belief or believe around certain Christians because there's a lot of baggage to that word. So they automatically go, well, because you believe something or you have a belief. So they automatically think, they take the next step and go, oh, belief equals God. It's like, no, that's not what it means. So when I'm around, people I know who usually think, rationally, I'll use the word, but around Christians, I won't use those words. I do this just for fun. I've been doing this for several years now. I've only been one or two people have actually caught on. When someone sneezes, the whole, people will say, God bless you because Gesundheit or whatever. Which is just German for God bless you or something, words along those lines. I could be wrong on that. But I slip it in this way. I say, Thor bless you. I mean, one God is as good as another. You're free to use that, by the way. Our next question here from the chat room here is from Joe. He's a prankster. So if he was on the show with us tonight, he'd be asking it himself. He goes, who do you pray to if you hate God?
My wife.
There you go.
Please.
Please, baby, please. Another question from Joe. I think this one here is a little bit closer to serious. He goes, as an atheist, would you consider yourself A, smug, B, spiteful, C, resentful of God?
And those are exactly three things that I do my videos for, is try to dispel that opinion that people have. The idea that atheists are smug is taken from basically Richard Dawkins, who is pretty smug. But and it's funny. I used to hate Richard Dawkins. I thought, what an arrogant bastard. And as I got older and dealing with more people of faith and some crazy ideas, I came to realize that he acts the way he is because he's just tired of dealing with these people.
Oh yeah,
it's exhausting.
Yes.
So I try not to be smug, and I try to give a very friendly face to atheism because, most atheists are just regular people. They don't believe in. And I make a very conscious effort to say, when I say I'm an atheist, I say it's because I don't think there's a reason to believe that there's a God. Mm-hmm. Or that there's, I'm very clear that I'm thinking about it rather than just, blindly believing something.
Right. His next question is from the same person, from Joe. And, of course, like I said, he's a jokester. He says, was your grandfather a monkey?
Well, great, 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 about 600 times, yes.
Probably. Well, we do share a common ancestor.
A monkey-like animal.
Yes. Another question is, why do you believe evolution big banged you here by chance? That's a question we get a lot of from fundies. Joe, of course, he's not a fundie. He's just playing one on the thing here. He's playing devil's advocate tonight.
I would say I don't believe in evolution. I don't need to believe in evolution. Evolution doesn't care what I believe.
Right.
I see that evolution is a real thing by the evidence, which is overwhelming.
Yes, I get that question as well. I say, I don't believe in evolution. I don't have to. It's already proven itself. There's facts to back it up, so I don't need to believe it. If it's like, I don't need to believe in cars because they're fucking a fact, you know? It's like that old joke, if you don't believe in hospitals or big trucks, you get hit by a big truck, you believe in both real quick, you know?
Yeah.
yeah, there you go. Hey, kudos to Joe, who has basically turned Big Bang into a verb.
Yeah. You Big Banged you into existence. Some other questions here. Joe seems to be monopolizing our questions tonight, but of course we don't have too many people in the chat room at the moment. Why don't you go to a church sometime?
I actually go to church quite a bit.
Really?
I go to church more than my family does, and they actually believe. I go, and mostly Catholic church, because my best friend's Catholic, my wife's Catholic. When I go visit family, I go when they go. And I do it as a courtesy. And I go also to hear the stories to remind myself of how crazy some of them are.
I don't think I could do it.
That's yeah. Awesome.
The Christmas service this year was, you know, talk about Mary, and Mary was born without sin, and that's why she, you know, she was praying, because she was complete, you know, God made her without sin. And I was thinking, well, why didn't God just make everyone without sin? Then we would have, you know.
Yeah. That's a good question. Why didn't he? I didn't see this one, but this is from Connie. Says, it's not about atheism, but she asks, do you start your own seeds for your garden?
Do I start everything from seed? Yes.
Yeah. Well, it just says, she just says, do you start your own seeds for your garden? So I don't know what she means by that exactly.
Start from seed, I'm sure.
Well, I suppose you can't just put imaginary ones in there and go, okay, something's going to grow here.
I'm going to make some seeds and then grow things from them.
Right. I created them in the laboratory. You know, the lightning.
What are you, God?
Yeah. You know, not only do I start thinking about gardening, seeds, right? But I'm one of those people who takes the seeds from last year's crops and plant some the current year.
Okay, so I take you're a heavy gardener then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I had played with the idea of having another YouTube channel, The Atheist Gardener.
Oh, that would be interesting. That'd be an interesting channel. I'd subscribe to that.
But it's, you know, it's there. It's surprisingly time-consuming.
You know what they say about gardening, Tom? Growing your own food is like printing your own money.
It is. In a way, it is. Yeah. A comment from Joe here. He says, I went to Christmas Eve Mass this year. I stayed 60 seconds because I was tempted to steal the baby Jesus.
Joe. He did it, too.
Well, I like taking my picture in the churches in front of the iconary. And I usually get some family member going, aren't you afraid of getting struck by lightning?
Does this church not have a lightning rod?
that's the joke is, if they believe in God, why do they have lightning rods?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And why do they get insurance on the building? They have to,
Yeah.
If God was going to protect them, then they wouldn't need insurance. So, and there wouldn't be a special rider in there saying acts of God,
Insured against it.
Yes. And you're insured against it. How do you insure against acts of God?
Our church is insured against acts of God.
Yeah. let's see here. See if we had any more. Do we have any other questions from the chat room here? Joe's been monopolizing most of them. Do you have another question for Tom, Dana?
Yeah, I don't really want him to out himself, but just give me a rough idea of where you are in the state.
About 5 miles south of Midway Airport.
Oh, Southsider.
Yes.
Good on you. Okay, I'm in the Rockford area, which is a hike from you, but yeah.
Not if you have a car. You know, they have these new things called cars. You can drive around in them.
Well, it's funny. I usually tell people, because I talk to people all over the world, basically, and I say I live on, south of Chicago, and South Chicago is basically a place, and I had a lot of people say, isn't that a scary place where you live? And I didn't realize they were thinking the south of, I guess, North Avenue, or where it's a little rough neighborhoods. But I'm not in the city. I'm out of the city. I'm in the safe area.
Right. So you're south of Cicero?
Yeah. In fact, I've lived in Northbrook and Wooddale and Bensonville and Berwyn. My wife is giving me the evil eyeball.
I'm more of a northwest suburban guy. Arlington Heights, Mount Prospect, Elk Grove Village, and then Rolling Meadows, and then finally Rockford.
Well, I'd love when I moved to Berwyn. Remember Berwyn? Berwyn.
Just a quick question myself here, Tom. Were you yourself born in Illinois, or
no? I was actually born in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
I've moved like 30 times before I moved here.
Ah,
and no particular reason. My dad was not in the military. We just moved around a lot, and I basically got that bug. So
yeah, I know.
Once I moved out, I moved a lot, but then I got married and had a kid, and now I've stayed put for quite a while.
Nice.
Yeah, I know that feeling. My family moved around quite a bit also. Real quick here, on your picture here, you have the atheist symbol on your arm. Is that on the picture? That's not a tattoo. Okay. I was going to say, that's a big tattoo, but it's not. And I see you also had your daughter in a few of the videos that you've done. How does your wife feel about that? I wouldn't say introducing her, you're letting her think of the stuff for herself when she asks you questions and whatnot, and you tell her how your position is. How does she react to that when your daughter says, well, daddy says this, and then does she contradict what you say, or does she go, okay, well, we'll discuss this another time?
She's standing right here. Would you like to answer?
No, I say I didn't know that you have videos in there from Abby. Why do you have videos in there for? That I didn't know. You should tell me before
You've seen them. In fact, that there's one where you can hear her yelling from the window. Go, what do you have her in your video for? Don't have her in your video. What are you telling her? I'm just asking her questions.
That's
why I don't tell her anything. I just ask her what she thinks. I've gotten in some trouble with talking to my nieces and nephews and asking relatively leading questions on what they have been told about religion.
Mm-hmm.
Basically pointing out the conflicts in the stories and why they don't really make any sense, and why are you going to believe something that doesn't make any sense?
Right. And I suppose their parents go, what are you telling their kids this for?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
don't talk to them anymore.
Tom, right?
Yeah.
You that crazy, godless Uncle Tom.
Yeah. But, you know, actually my wife's family probably appreciates me a little bit more than my family. My family is, some members are pretty upset that I'm so outspoken. Mm-hmm. In fact, my stepmother has gone as far to say is the videos I do make her sick to her stomach.
Oh, gee. I've seen your videos. If you were doing videos like the Amazing Atheist was doing his videos, then I could say yeah. But your videos are rather benign as far as, you know, the compared to a lot of the atheists that are out there on the internet right now.
Yeah, I mean my whole shtick is basically saying, you know, atheists are friendly, normal people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I have fairly strong opinions about things, and that's what I do the videos on.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I don't say, you know, religion is bad or believing in God is bad. I say it's kind of ridiculous at times, but I don't fight religion. I don't have a deal so much with religion. I have a conflict with people who think God is a literal force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's counterproductive.
Mm. Definitely. I understand that. Oh, since we're not getting any more questions from the chat room, Torvian said that he had asked one, but I think we kind of answered it earlier in the show. So we'll go by that anyway. So, all right, I'm going to get us out of here because I forgot to stop the recording halfway. So we reset because we have a little problem with program's crashing over here at the show. But tonight, it's very nice. It's holding up. But if you would like to get in contact with us, of course, you can always reach us at ppapodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to make a donation to the show, it's patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. And we'll be back next week with our regular short show. And we, of course, want to thank Tom Leeds for joining us tonight. Tom, thank you again for joining us at this late hour to, you know, chew the fat with us.
Yeah, no, this was great. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you very much. All right, this has been Packard Poke Set. We'll see you next week. We just poked at your news. And that's a wrap.